You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
As I said, over the last few weeks, we are toning things down this month. We are making things a little bit more acoustic, a little bit kind of laid-back feel, because I really want to talk about this idea of, as Kirk shared, loving God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And as I said before, the reason it's called Adonai is that the Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai. And so I just want us to take time this month, and it's crazy watching what God is doing through you, through this series, through His Word. As I shared the first week, I've asked the elders to take something this month and fast just to focus us spiritually. And it's been cool hearing the stories and watching what God's doing. And there's nothing wrong with being all hyped up. And like Justin said, next month you don't want to miss it. As he mentioned, it is PG-13. So if there's some issues you have with maybe 5th and 6th graders, I firmly believe that if you have 7th graders or up, they need to be here for that. But I'll let you make the call as 5th and 6th graders. But it's gonna be cool stuff. But Michelle has some options in case you think otherwise. But for now, I want to focus on loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In the very first week, we talked about loving God with our heart. And how loving God with our heart means we need to love Him in everything that we do. Not some parts, not some pieces, not some places, but in everything. And then last week, we talked about how loving God with our soul means focusing more on eternity than it does on now. You know, thinking about later than it does mean living for now. And so this week I want to talk about loving God with our mind. And of course, this all comes from Mark chapter 12. And you don't need to turn there because I'm just going to glance at it. But again, the teachers of the law, beginning in verse 28, they came to the disciples there. People were debating. And they noticed that Jesus had given them a good answer. And so this guy says to Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" And again, I can't stress how huge this is. You have the Son of God on the earth answering the question of what is the most important thing. And this is how Jesus responded. He said, "The most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." And so this week we're going to look at that idea of loving God with our mind. And the Greek word here, I'm not going to pronounce it. It's something like but we'll just say that it means this idea of mind. It means your intellect, your mind. You know, a lot of times, and I'll just kind of say this at the outset. You know, I've been in circles of Christ followers that are like, well, you know, if we spend too much time thinking, then the Spirit can't move, or God doesn't want us to plan because if we plan, we plan Him out of the picture. And I will say, I wholeheartedly disagree with that. You know, obviously, you need to leave room for what God is doing, and you know, I think that's the important job of all of us, to say, okay, this is my plan for today, but God, what are you doing? But I've watched God work, as I said before. You know, we plan these series months in advance. And you know, while we see things in according to a chronological timeline, God sees eternity. He sees the whole picture. And so I firmly believe that, you know, God wants us to use our minds. He wants us to think about Him. And that's, well, that's where we're going. And here's what it is. It says, loving God with our mind means thinking about things that please Him. That's the point for this week. That's what I want you to walk out of here understanding, that loving God with our mind means thinking about things that please Him. That's it. Thinking about things that please Him. And a lot of times, we don't. So I want to jump from that verse in Mark chapter 12 to Philippians chapter 4. And so if you do have a Bible or the YouVersion app, you can jump there. I will say this about YouVersion. They are, obviously, it's a free Bible app, and if you can connect to the internet on a smartphone, if you don't have a smartphone and use Wi-Fi, iPad, things like that, they are offering, today is the last day you can download the NIV for free to have it available offline. And I'm just telling you that because that's what I typically use is the NIV to teach. So then you could have it in here on your iPad, Kindle, Nook, whatever else you might have. So enough commercial with that. But here's what Paul is writing a letter. And he's writing to a church in a place called Philippi. And as I've shared many times before, when you read these New Testament letters or epistles is the fancy word for it, there was a reason. Paul wrote these things for a reason. And so he's writing to this church in Philippi because they had some issues. And he shared a bunch of things that they're dealing with and talking about joy in their lives and some other areas that they need to consider. And then he pretty much wraps up his letter with this. He says, finally, which is a good thing to say when you're wrapping up. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so here in this passage, if we realize, okay, I need to love God with everything. I need to love God with my mind. And loving God with my mind means thinking about things that please Him. Here is a list that Paul gives us of things that we can do. And he shares different things. And I'm just going to take a moment here and break it down a little bit. The first thing he says, whatever is true. So the things we need to be thinking about, okay? And again, let me just share this with this whole series too. And I guess with any time you read the Bible, I find myself looking and saying, you know what, man, I wish they were here to hear that. They really need to get that. And I'd love for you just to kind of make that your practice, not to worry about everybody else, but to think about what do you need to hear? And so I just want to throw this out to you. He says, whatever is true, whatever is true. And the Greek word is aletheia, which is what I'm alone this weekend, but I still have a wife and she's hopefully returning tonight. But aletheia, whatever is aletheia, whatever is true. That's what that word means. And the idea of this word is things that are real, that are authentic. He says, you need to be thinking about things and focusing your mind on things that are true, that are real, that are not fake. And there is a lot in this world that is fake. And I'll just share this with you, and we'll talk about some of these things in a bit. But yesterday I got a deal from Amazon that they will give me $5 off any new magazine subscription. So it says, click here to accept the deal and go to their subscription page. And, of course, they show me the covers of all the magazines that they've got available. And I got to tell you, what was interesting to me, I'll say it this way. Obviously, guys have visual things that, you know, the guys are visually oriented. You following me here? Everybody get that? Ladies are somewhat, but they're more like emotional and you know, but guys are. And what was crazy to me is that there were magazines that I was looking at these covers, and I wasn't looking at them because I'm trying to do what I'm teaching you. But as I'm going through, I'm like, oh, that must be some sort of men's magazine. Oh, that must be some men's magazine. And then I realized it was under the category of women. And I thought, this is really interesting to me that these are magazines targeted for women that have people on the front that are not real. They are airbrushed, they are stretched, they are expanded, they are shrunk, they're not real. And it's crazy to me. I mean, again, not that it's appropriate to market these things to guys, don't get me wrong. But I just thought how interesting it was that this is for women. And so women are said, hey, read this magazine about how to be a healthier woman, about how to be who you should be. And I thought, dude, this is exactly what Paul's talking about. This isn't real. He says, focus your eyes and your thoughts on things that are real. TV makes us think that relationships are this way, but that's not the reality. Things aren't always easy. They're not always awful. Men are not always complete jerks and are lazy. Christians are not always idiots. I mean, there's a lot of things on TV that are not real. And so he says, focus on things that are true. The next thing he says, think about things, whatever, anything, that is noble. And this idea means something that is reputable, that is dignified. It even has this idea of majestic or attractive. If it is something that you're like, wow, that draws out some majesty. And I guess there's some idea here that these things that he's talking about, does it make you think about how great God is? The things that we think about, the things that we spend our time and our energy focusing on, do those things one, are they real? But the second thing is, do they make you think about God's majesty? Do they make you think about how great God is? Or is this idea of it, is it noble? Is it something you're like, wow, that is impressive. Wow, that makes me think about God. And I'm not saying that everything has to make you think about God. You know, washing dishes probably doesn't make you think about God. Maybe it does. But that's what he's talking about. He says things that are noble. The third thing he says is things that are right. The word here means things that are socially right. Social justice, things that are appropriate. This is right. This is a good thing. He says we need to be thinking about that. And this idea means to fit in with what is just. And I'm not talking about like holy spiritual just, but just if you spend your time focusing on things and you say, wow, that's just not right, that's probably what Paul's talking about here. Do we glorify things that are not appropriate, that are not right, that are not just? And I don't know. I mean, I guess let's talk about race issues. You know, do we laugh at jokes that make fun of people by their ethnicity? Because that is not just. That is not, and that's what he's talking about. That is not right. And so there's things that we are thinking about that are not appropriate. So he goes on, he says, whatever is pure. And this word here, this is the clincher for me. Like, we can talk about, well, that's kind of right, that's kind of not right, that's sort of majestic, it kind of makes me think about God if I think about it. But this one here, it doesn't leave much of a loophole, because this word means without sin, without a hint, free from, uncontaminated. And so my question is, are we focusing our thoughts? Are we reading? Are we talking about? Are we watching? Are we listening to things that are free from sin? Because often our response is like, well, I mean, it's not that bad. But he says, free from sin, pure. I mean, think about it this way. How many of you, let me ask you this question. You can raise your hand because I'm not going to embarrass you, because it's not embarrassing. How many of you have ever owned a product or a vehicle where there's been a product recall? Raise your hand if you've ever had a vehicle or something like that has had a product recall. Now, typically, if there's a product recall, typically, it's a small thing. Like one of the things that is a big deal in the last few years has been cribs, crib safety. And the issue was that the cribs had, you know, I guess now, and it helped me because my kids are wonderfully out of cribs, but I believe cribs no longer can open and close. Is that correct? Legally? Okay, that is correct. And the reason why is that, you know, it was just this one little lock, one little part could disconnect, and a kid, a baby, could get their head trapped between the gate and the crib and essentially die, be choked to death, suffocate, squeezed in there. But here's the deal, guys, right? Think about the size of a crib. Think about the money that you probably spend on a crib. And if you don't think about it, some of you haven't thought about this for a long time. Let's say it's a couple hundred dollars, maybe less than that, maybe $100. But comparison to the little plastic piece, that plastic piece is probably like, it probably cost them like 50 cents to make. So that is just one little part, right? It's not a big deal. It's just one little piece of that whole crib. I mean, think about it in terms of size. A clip that big and a crib, you know, that's big. So I think it's fair for us to say when we get a product recall or there's rules issued now, we say, you know what, you know, that little part is not a big deal. I mean, think about the rest of the parts of the crib that do work. Why are we worrying about this one part that doesn't work? The reason we're worrying about this one part that doesn't work is because if that part fails, your kid will die. Which isn't a big deal, right? And yet I think a lot of times we treat this idea of purity, this idea of free from sin, this idea of what we think about the same way. It's just one little thing. It's not that big of a deal. And as we'll talk about next month, Jesus says, you know what? One little part can set the whole course of your life in a direction that is exactly where Satan wants you to go. So he says, we need to be thinking about whatever is pure, free from sin. Then he goes on and he says, whatever is lovely. The Greek word here is prosphiles, philos, phylos, sorry. I get intimidated when there's a certain person over there that has like 5 degrees in like Hebrew and Greek. But anyway, but I still love him. I love him greatly. Which goes to this word. This word is, it literally means for love. Things that are lovely. Is it lovely? Is it pleasing? Is it when you look or think about or talk or discuss or whatever, are the things that you're thinking about, do they promote love? And this word love is a biblical love here. We're not talking about a feeling. It's more than a feeling. And I'd break into song right now, but we're going acoustic. Sorry. But do the things that you watch, the things that we consider, the things that we read, the things that pass through our eyes, into our mind, do they encourage love? Are they for love? Are they lovely? Or are they essentially the opposite? Because Jesus tells us, you know, what is there's no such thing greater. The greatest love that you can have is when we lay down our lives for someone else. And so, are the things that we are watching, surfing, whatever, are they saying love is a good thing? And I'm not talking about the feeling thing. I'm talking about, are people giving? Are the things that you're watching and doing, are the things that are passing through my mind, focusing on what is lovely? The next thing he says, if it's admirable, and this is something where it's like, we know what that word means. It means, wow, this is incredible. That is something I want to be like. That when you admire someone, when you see that then there's innate, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, but somewhere inside of you, like if you admire something, you want to be like that. And are the things that you're watching that are, and I keep saying watching, there's a lot of ways things go into our mind, but are the things that we are thinking about, are they admirable? Are they things that, let's not even talk about you. If you were doing them, what would your kids think? And I find that, the world changes when you watch something with your kids. And I don't know if you're following me here, but there are shows, movies, whatever, we'll watch, and we're like, I think the kids would enjoy that. There's nothing, I don't remember anything wrong with it. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, hey, oh, oh, hey, what's that over there, guys? And we've actually, we've watched movies that are PG, and the 80s PG was a whole different world, baby. It was a different thing back then. So don't just be like, oh, that's PG, so it's okay for my kids. I don't know what they were thinking back in the early 80s, but it is different. And we were like, okay, this is the end of this movie, kids. Sorry. I know Mom said it was a great movie. Mom was wrong, okay? That's kind of this idea of admirable. Like, are we thinking about things, like, are they things that we are willing to imitate in our lives and be proud of? Because, again, we often... it's not that bad. It's not that big of a deal. That's what admirable means. He said anything that is excellent, and excellent has this idea of being excellent. You know, dude, excellent, most excellent. I mean, think Bill and Ted. That's what it's all about. I'm old. Sorry. Younger people are like, what? But this idea of, is this something outstanding? And the word means this idea of outstanding moral character. That is just crazy. And I'll probably share this again later because it was so incredible. But at Winter Jam on Friday night, which we had a pile of people there, and we're going acoustic right now. But don't worry, I've worked out a way to get your attention next month. Red inspired me, so and it'll warm the building too. I think we'll be cool. Good with it. They had huge flames shooting up. It was awesome. Well, the screen. So the screen's there. I guess we won't do it. But anyway, Winter Jam, Matthew West shared, he actually has his whole album now, and I don't even know what it's called, but he wanted to get people's stories, and this one story that he shared at the concert was about this lady who had a teenage daughter, and her teenage daughter was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver, a 24-year-old guy who was drunk, and of course, nobody, that's a traumatic, traumatic experience. And so, of course, the trial went through, and this young, I mean, he's a young guy, obviously 24 isn't very old, not when you're my age, but he shared how sorry he was, and he went to prison, and the lady shared in her story that basically, the sentence was done, he'd been in prison, but she didn't feel like it had been resolved, And she finally came to the conclusion that she was just hanging on to some bitterness. And she had to forgive this guy. And that right there, that emotional say, okay, I really forgive you, that's pretty impressive. But let's make it excellent, right? What this lady did, she and 10, I think it was like 10 members of her family, separately went before a judge to get this guy's sentence reduced and cut in half so he could be released. That is excellent. That is grace. That is God doing some crazy things. Because if you can imagine what that must have been like for her to go through that situation and not just say, okay, I forgive you on paper, but to actually then go through the work and the process to say, I want this guy, I want him to know the extent of my forgiveness. And to have their whole family, who all were dealing with this, to go before a judge and say, no, we think he should get out early. That is excellent. Are the things that we're thinking about, are they excellent? Did they make us say, wow, God's grace is amazing? I went to see Les Miserables, and I talk about my age, because obviously I'm not that old, but in that particular congregation, what do you call that, the movie theater? In that movie theater, Kendra and I were the youngest people there. It was pretty cool. I felt rather young again. But Les Miserables, and I knew all the songs, okay? I'm a man, and I know how to sing, and I like musicals. Bring it. But the story of Les Miserables is an amazing story of grace. And there's stuff in there, and I know I'm kind of contradicting myself. But it makes me think, wow, that story, when I hear it over and over, and I took Kendra for her 21st birthday, we got second row seats on Broadway to see that show, that, like, wow, that is just a hint of how God works. And if you don't know the story, I'm not going to waste your time with it. Read Victor Hugo's Les Miserables. Learn French first, Rosetta Stone, pick it up, then read it in the original language, and you'll be good to go. Or you can just watch the movie. But I think the novel's better. Not that I've read it. But anyway, that's the idea of excellent and thinking about things that are like, wow, this is just amazing. This is God's grace running through it. And that's what he's saying. Think about things that are excellent. And then the last thing he said, think about things that are praiseworthy. We use the word praise in church all the time, right? We praise God. And James talks about how we use our same mouth to praise our Father in heaven, and then we use that same mouth to curse, to talk down about other people. And he says, that shouldn't be the way. That's not right. And so this idea of praising, like, would you want to come in on a Sunday morning, gather together with brothers and sisters in Jesus, and sing praises to what we think about? Is it praiseworthy? To sing praises to what we listen to. Let's all get together and talk about singing, hey, yeah, we want you to shake that body. Shake your thing, shake it, shake it. You know, like, I was listening to a song the other day that I did turn off, but I was very impressed at first because it said, it was like, I want a way to show you that I love you without being disrespectful. And I'm like, dude, finally. And then he went on, and I can't even tell you what he said. Like, it's beyond PG-13. I'm like, what? How is that possibly not disrespectful? And I'm talking about, like, just descriptions and what? Anyway, sorry, I'm off the subject. But would I want to sing praises to that? No. And that's what Paul is saying. Praiseworthy. There are these things that we could come together and say, you know what? That is great. And he ends it with, think about such things. The word here is the root we get logic. It's the root of word. He says, take time. He says, this isn't just like, hey, okay, whatever. He says, think about things. Let them sink in. Calculate them. You know, which, I don't know, we use calculators now, but before using calculators, you used to have to think about things like numbers. And that's the idea. It's like, hey, think about it. Don't, these things, if it's true, if it's noble, if it's right, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's admirable, if it's excellent, if it's praiseworthy, spend time using your brain to just chew on these things, to think about them. And yet, oftentimes, we do the opposite. And I'm not pointing fingers. I find myself constantly, you know, especially if you want to get some real, like, challenge, teach this to somebody, and then you're like, oh boy, okay, that's not okay. What about okay that? But you know, you find all of a sudden there's a lot of loopholes and a lot of problems in your own life. But don't worry, it's just the wind. But that's what he says. He says, chew on these things. Think about them. Think about things that are good, right, not things that aren't. And that's where we need to go. And so here's the deal. Again, the point is, loving God with our mind means thinking about things that please Him. Do the things we think about please Him? Do they fit any of those descriptions there? This includes, and I just kind of started coming up with a list of things of how we get things into our mind. This includes our watching. What do we watch on TV? What movies do we watch? Do they please God? Would you want to worship those things on a Sunday morning here? Would you want your kids to see you mimicking those things? What about our reading? The things we read. Do the things you read in your novels, are they attitudes? Are they lovely? Is that love that you want people to see in you? I mean, I've talked before, like romance novels, you know, men are visually stimulated. Women are emotionally stimulated. And romance novels are like visual, like porn for ladies, my opinion. They don't interest me. So, but I, you know, are the things you read about, are the things we read about? I mean, the love stories that are so popular, and I'm, are they really something that we want to think about, that we want to chew on? Are they things that please God? And well, I'll get to that in a second, but just about that. I mean, do you read, like, is your first thing like, ooh, I want to see what's the Hollywood gossip? What's going on there? Are those the lifestyles that we want to be spending our time thinking about? I'm just throwing it out there, and again, I'll get there. The third thing, so our watching, our reading, our listening. What are you listening to?
Well, I just like the beat. I don't really listen to the words.
I will say, as a person, that honestly, I don't realize the words. I don't. But I find later that I'm like humming and singing, like, what the heck? Where did that come from? Oh, because I was listening to that. And I will say this, that Kendra, like, right away, like, we'll be in the car flipping through the radio dial. I'm like, oh, I love this song. And Kendra's like, turn that off. Do you hear what they're saying? I'm like, no. And the thing is that I found that my children, a couple of them, are like Kendra. They pick up the words right away. And that has challenged me to no end about what I'm listening to. So the things that we're listening to, what about our talking? You know, are we gossiping? Are we having conversations with people about things that don't please God? Are we thinking about things that are not pleasing to Him? Are we telling jokes that are not pleasing to Him? Are we getting involved in using our words? And obviously our words process through our head, and they're things that are not pleasing to God. They're not pure. They're not bad. I mean, it's not like that joke. Well, pure is not, it's just that little part on the crib. What about our playing? Our video games? Is the stuff that you play on your video game, is it glorifying God? Is it pleasing to God? How about online games? Or some of these sim games? And I'm not trying to call out anything. But these simulation games, like, are those the things that we want to emulate, that we want to be, that we want to see, the people to see in us? Those are the things we want to worship. Our watching, our reading, our listening, our talking, our playing, our surfing. Where do you go online? I mean, that's fairly a no-brainer. I have a serious spam issue right now that we are working to resolve. And dude, just a click away. I'm getting stuff sent to me that's a click away. And am I spending my time thinking about those things? Are you spending your time on those things? And there's even tame things out there, like social media. Are we thinking about, wow, they're so good and amazing, I wish I could be them? Or are we just the opposite? Are we going, you know, and just, hey, I'm going to pretend to be someone I'm not? Our surfing, our going, Are there places you visit that send your thoughts away from God? Are there places that you're going that you need to stop going? Maybe there's nothing wrong with that place, but for you, it brings back some memories or whatever. It causes you whatever. You know, an alcoholic should not be in a bar, ever. I don't care if you're just drinking soda. Don't go there. It brings back that stuff. And I think there's a lot of things in our lives where it's like we find ourselves, well, I'm not going to do it. But we go there and we think it. And Jesus says we need to love God, to love Him with our mind, thinking about things that please Him. How about our relating? And this is a tricky one. You know, we want to be a church that reaches out to the unchurched. And when you do that, when you talk with people that don't know how to be Jesus-y, you're going to hear stuff. And it's raw, and it's real, and it's ugly. And Jesus spent a lot of time with raw, real, and ugly people. But I would just say it this way. If we find ourselves being influenced because we're spending so much time with people that are not following Jesus, then we need to be careful. We're going to talk in March about standing out and letting our light shine and being unique and being different. Jesus calls us to that. So our watching, our reading, our listening, our talking, our playing, our going, and our relating. Thinking about things that please Him. So each week we've talked about how do we respond to this idea. How do we, God wants me to think about things that please Him. And so I want to throw this out. Again, we talked about disciplines, things that we do to kind of train us. And the very first week we talked about just the discipline of time with God, of spending time with God, whatever that might look like, however you need to do that, beginning that. Last week we talked about giving and how offering in the middle of worship is a way of showing God that we love Him. And are we thinking about eternity rather than now? This week I want to talk about just this idea of Bible study. And I'm probably going to do a series down the road, and actually Basics is going on right now with DJ's Prime Group, and you're going to learn more about Bible study through Basics. Each of the groups will. But I want to talk about it. I don't mean Bible study like we're gathering together to talk about prayer requests and then look at a passage and then go home and not really answer anything ourselves anyway. I'm talking about you studying the Bible. That if we're going to think about things that please God, let me tell you, God's Word, it's pleasing to Him. It's His Word. We sang the last song there. It was intentional. This is my daily bread. The food, the sustenance that I need is God's very Word spoken to me. We need God's Word. So Bible study. And let me just throw this passage up there in Psalm 1. And there's tons of Bible passages about the importance of reading or studying the Bible. But the Psalm writer says this. He says, blessed is the man. Now, ladies, don't miss this. It's not just for males. It's not for those with more testosterone than estrogen. It's for everybody. But he's using a man as an example. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. So here's the thing. This is the Old Testament now. This guy is writing a psalm, which is a song of love, an expression. He says in this that blessed is the person that does it. Now, we just talked about where we walk, who we talk to, our surfing, all those things. He says, he's kind of repeating the same idea. He says, blessed the person that doesn't, blessed, means, dude, it's good for you. Let's put it that way. Blessed is a churchy word. But the idea is, it's good for you. It is good for the man, it is good for the person who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And this idea of counsel is, you know what counseling is. You go to a counselor, they give you advice. And he says that the person, if you're spending your time getting advice from someone that is wicked, and this is a legal term for someone that has broken the law and is continuing to break the law, sort of a most wanted kind of person. They're out there, and they haven't been caught yet. They haven't come to justice. They haven't changed their mind. They're still doing their lawless thing. And so he says, you will be blessed. Things will be good for you. It will go well for you. If you don't get your advice from people that are lawless, the people that have broken the law. And a lot of times we might not say, hey, how should I relate to my wife? Well, let's go to the radio and see what I should do. You know, we don't do that intentionally, I don't think. If you do, don't. But oftentimes we find that there's these things that are suddenly within us, that are in our mind, that we are processing, that we are thinking about. And suddenly that is coming out in how we talk and how we live and interact with our spouse. He says, don't get your advice from them. He says, you'll be blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, if you don't get your advice from wicked people. He says, or standing. And notice what's going on here. You're walking, standing, and then sitting. Or standing in the way, and the way is this path. Standing in the path of sinners. If you're hanging out, and this word sinners means someone that's a habitual sinner, that's someone that's doing something wrong, because we are all sinners. But this word here is someone that we know is doing something wrong. And so he says, don't hang out. You will be blessed. It will go well for you if you don't hang out where people that are constantly going against God are. Don't stand in their way. Don't stand in their path. Don't be near them. Then he goes on, he says, you will be blessed if you don't sit. So first you're walking, then you're just standing. Now you're sitting, and sitting is a whole different idea. Sitting means you're settling in. Right? There's a member of our prime group that I won't call out because he gets embarrassed, but we have certain rules. When we stand, it means it's time to go. And so then we stand by the door for like 2 hours. But sitting means you're going to lounge, right? Sitting means you're gonna sit and you're going to be there. And he says, blessed are you if you don't sit in the seat. And the seat means in the dwelling place. If you don't spend your time where mockers. And the word mockers here, and again, I know I'm throwing out all these things, but it has this idea of babble, of incessant noise. It's actually using the same word is used to describe the way a dove coos. Oh, I can't do it now. Hold on. Oh, I can't do it. That really stinks. Oh, I was doing it all morning. Anyway, trust me. But anyway, this sound of a dove cooing, it's just this repetitive, like, you know? Or it's the same sign of a lion growling. It's also used to describe that, where, you know, it's got this, I can't do that either, sorry. Talk for a half hour, and you try it, okay? But this idea of just this incessant noise, and he says that, you know, if you're spending your time, if you're sitting, if you're hanging out with people that are just making incessant noise that's not glorifying to God, then you're going to have problems. But instead, if your delight, and this is what he switches, he says, think on these things. Blessed are you if your delight is in the law of the Lord. If your delight is in God's word. That's what the law of the Lord meant to them. God's word, God's, the Bible. Is your delight in God's word. And this word delight means just that pleasure. Delight, desire. I've shared with you that I have, during the week, have fasted coffee. And again, I'm not doing it to be spiritual. It's to show you that I'm spiritual. But let me tell you, I've had, Kirk has called me and we've talked. How's it going? How are you doing? I appreciate that, Kirk. He's kind of holding me accountable to this thing. And I'm like, dude, I want coffee. I want it. And the cool thing about a fast is that the idea is when you give up something, partially it's just so you can focus that time on spending time with God, but also there's this human reaction to it. When you give up something that you want, you desire it. And I try to pray this every time and do this a lot. It's just a quick prayer, and I say, God, help me to want you the way I want coffee. And that's what he's saying, is our delight, is our pleasure, is our desire for God's word, or are we thinking about things that don't please him? Are we walking in the counsel of the wicked? Are we standing in the presence of sinners? Are we sitting in the seat of mockers? It says, your delight is in the law of the Lord. And he goes on and says that he meditates on his law. He meditates day and night. And again, it's coming back to this idea of meditating and wanting to desire God's word. It gives the idea of like a cow chewing on its cud. This idea of meditating. And a cow, and if you don't know anything about a cow, because I know everything about a cow. let me tell you. But what I've heard is they've got a bunch of stomachs, okay? And we don't have a bunch of stomachs, which would make a stomach flu, like, horrendous. Can you imagine? Like, oh, I threw up. What was that? Oh, sorry, that's the other stomach over here. Anyway, okay. A cow has a bunch of stomachs, and they don't digest food the way we do. They chew on it. They chew something, swallow it, and it goes to one of their stomachs. And it stays there, and some stomach does stomachy things to it. And then it comes back up into their mouth, and they chew on it some more and break it down some more. And then it, like, drops into another stomach. And that stomach does some stomachy things to it, and it comes back up. And they do this for as long as they have, like, 8,000 stomachs. That's what I'm told. I think that's true. But the idea is that it keeps coming back up, and they chew on the same thing some more and then swallow it. And that's what meditation means. Like, do we think about, do we desire God's word? Do we delight in it enough that we just keep thinking about it over and over again? We're like, okay. And some of this comes into memorizing verses. And if you're memorizing the Bible, so you can say, look, check, I memorized that one, that one, that one, and that one. But if it doesn't make a difference in your life, it doesn't matter. But memorization is a good thing. I find myself in situations and I'm like, where did that verse come from? I'm like, 10th grade. I remember this. I'm in a situation and a verse pops into my head because I memorized it in 10th grade. So this idea of meditating is focusing on God's word. And that's what Bible study is. And he says, the person that does this, instead of being in trouble, he says, they're like a tree planted by streams of water. A tree by a stream is going to be healthy. It's going to yield fruit in season. It's going to do what it's supposed to do. Many of us are not doing what we're supposed to do. We're not yielding fruit because we're not focusing on God's word. We're letting the world tell us how to live, and we're meditating on that. His leaf does not wither. You know what I'm saying. The leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does prospers. And this doesn't mean that if you think about God's word, if you study the Bible, you're suddenly going to get rich. Because we talked about last week, that's not prosperity. Prosperity is about the rest of the life, about eternity. And so Bible study is simply that. It's simply taking time. And maybe this is during your time with God. Maybe it's beyond that. Maybe you listen to a scripture passage. Maybe you write it down. You know, one of my favorite things to do with students was have them write a verse down and stick it somewhere they'll see it all the time. That's all they have to do. They don't have to, you know, sit and read it over 63 times, which is something you can do if you wanted to do. I said, just put it somewhere you'll see it. Is it on your mirror? So every morning you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, meditating on it. Thinking about things that are pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Studying God's word. And so that's what it is. And there's a lot more to that. And again, hopefully, like, basics is going to work its way through a lot of your groups, your prime groups. If you're not in a prime group, jump in. There's a new one right now that's going through basics, which is just basics. It's what it is. It's basic stuff about following Jesus. But there's more to it, and I'd love to be able to talk with you more about that. How do you study the Bible if you want to get more in depth? But you can buy study Bibles. They do a great job. YouVersion has great Bible study resources that you can follow. They'll kind of show you what's going on. But that's this idea of saying, you know what? If I want to think about things that please God, what's something that pleases God? Instead of watching that or listening to that, maybe take that moment to read the Bible, to study Scripture, to do that. Because loving God with our mind means thinking about things that please Him. Now, here's the deal. This is where I want all of you to pay attention to me. I've just listed a whole bunch of things that we need to do. A bunch of things that, you know, we need to think about. Pure, lovely. I mean, Paul did it. It's not my words. It's his. And then I talked about ways that you can do that and places that you can do that. Or that you shouldn't do the alternative. But I want you to understand that that's not what Paul says. He doesn't say, you shouldn't think about this. He doesn't start listing, okay, don't think about R-rated movies and any song by Lady Gaga and, don't read any book by Daniel Steele. Is she still around, Daniel Steele? Don't read any book by Daniel Steele and make sure that your internet sites are always related to, you know. He doesn't give a list of what we shouldn't do. And I think there's a reason for that. It's because it's easy for us to get caught up in this list of, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Shouldn't do that. And then we do other things that are not appropriate and we think they're okay because they're not on our list. And so I've been trying to be very intentional about what I say. trying not to throw names of shows out there. I mean, there's a show that Kendra and I love. It is hilarious. We were watching it for probably 5 or 6, 7 episodes. And then, like, ooh, that one was a little off color. Then the next one was more off color. And then we're like, dang, because it's funny. And so we stopped watching it. And I could say the name of that show, and all of you could go home and be like, oh, it's not hard to watch that show. As long as I don't watch that show, I'm okay. I'm not here to judge you. And I don't want you to judge me. That is not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about us taking the time to process what is going in our minds. And I know that we are different people. There are things that affect me and tempt my sin nature very differently than they tempt Kendra. Or they don't tempt Kendra in the same way. There are things that some of you find really appealing and you're like, that just draws me down this path that I shouldn't be down. And I can look at that and go, what? It doesn't bother me. We are different people and God made us different. Sin is still sin, don't get me wrong. But I want us to make sure that we're not checking off a list or becoming legalistic so I can say, well, oh, you have that on your Netflix too? Well, God is not pleased with you, my brother. That's not what I'm doing at all. And I don't want you to get caught up in that list, but I want you to say everything. Scripture says, take every thought captive. Take a moment. What are the things that we're doing? What are we spending our time thinking about? And again, I don't want you to miss that there's a lot of things that happen up here. I mean, that is God's majesty, God's greatness. There are a lot of things that happen in our brains that we'll never understand. I mean, I got to be honest. Jeb's surgery, it blows my mind that people, it blew his mind quite literally, that people know how to do that. That's crazy. And I'm sure that you can talk to Jeb. I'm sure he can tell you all the details about it. and I'm not trying to embarrass him. But it just amazes me that, wow, our brain, there's people that know that. And that's like just a hint of what our brain can really do. And so I want you to understand there's a lot that comes into our brain that we might not say, oh, well, I'm not really thinking about it. But it's influencing us. It's affecting us. And so we need to think about things that please him. So this isn't something that I want you to walk out of here and say, well, can't do that, but I can do the rest of those that are okay. And there is stuff, I mean, there are R-rated movies that have themes that blow me away. And there's some decisions you need to make. There's some discernment that you need to make in what you listen to, in what you watch, and all those things, and the websites you go to. Let me tell you something. Next month, the series is S*X, okay? I'm going to be very careful and probably have Kendra join me when I start doing some online research. You following me? That's not, you don't just type that into a search engine, okay? Don't do that. And so there's things that I'm saying, okay, I need to be careful what I'm doing here. I want to talk about the subject. Jesus talked about it a lot. The Bible talks about it a lot. But I need to be careful how I'm letting that influence me. And so that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that it's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It has to be about a decision to question everything we do because we're pursuing Christ, because it comes back to loving God with everything that we do. And that includes our mind. That includes what we think about. I don't want you to get caught up in saying, well, I can't do that, or, well, they do that, and that's wrong, or that's right. It's got to be about pursuing Jesus, saying, I want Jesus. I want to desire his word. I want to delight in it. I want to want him. Kendra's been gone all weekend. I miss her. I know this is really dumb. It's like 2 days. Suck it up, man. But it's been a long time for me. I've never been that. I mean, I've been away. I've been on mission trips where she's like, oh, you're okay, honey. I'll be gone for 2 weeks. I know I might be in Nicaragua. I might die of some foreign disease, but I'll be okay. But she's, you know, in Philly. It's pretty dangerous. Actually, she's not. She's at IKEA. That's pretty dangerous, too. Everything, the instructions. Have you tried to do IKEA instructions? Anyway, focus. But I miss her. I desire her. And I'm not talking about next month's series. I mean, I guess that's part of it. But I love her. I miss her company. I miss her. I miss being able to talk with her about things. I delight in her. And it scares me, frankly, that sometimes I delight in her more than I delight in God. I need to be pursuing Christ, pursuing Him. In this book, Crazy Love, that I've told you about so many times, and many of you are listening to it. I have an extra copy on hand right now if you want me to loan it to you. We have an audio book that you can borrow right now. It has a second one. There are two of them that you can borrow right now. It's an incredible book, and I encourage you to read it by Francis Chan. But in one of the chapters, he shares this idea about rules and a list of do's and don'ts versus pursuing Christ. And let me just share it. He says, imagine going for a run while eating a box of Twinkies. He says, beside being self-defeating and side-ache-inducing, it would also be near impossible. You would have to stop running in order to eat the Twinkies. Fair enough, you know. In the same way, now listen to this. He says, in the same way, you have to stop loving and pursuing Christ in order to sin. When you are pursuing love, running toward Christ, you do not have the opportunity to wonder, am I doing this right? Did I serve enough this week? Did I do enough good stuff? He says, when you are running towards Christ, you are freed up to serve, love, and give thanks without guilt, worry, or fear. As long as you are running, you are safe. And that's what I want you to get out of this, that we're not trying to make a list of here's the things you should do and shouldn't do, and these are the shows you shouldn't, the books you shouldn't. But I want you to process everything in relation to pursuing Christ. Because a lot of times, you know, we say we're pursuing Christ, but we're really standing on the side of the road eating Twinkies. And we're wondering, why am I not getting fit? Why am I not getting where I want to go? Because you're standing there eating Twinkies. Some of you need to stop eating the Twinkies and start running after Jesus. And I say you, I eat way too many Twinkies. And we need to say, am I thinking about things that please Him? Are the contents of what I watch, listen to, view, are they pleasing to God? The contents of what you talk about, of where you go, are you thinking about things that please Him? Or are you just standing there eating Twinkies and wondering, well, God, why is this happening? Maybe it's not God. Maybe it's some changes you need to make. Maybe it's some changes that I need to make. Because Jesus says the greatest commandment, the best thing that you can do is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. We'll talk about that next week. And I know that this series has been sort of a kick in the teeth. It's not meant to be a guilt trip. It's meant to pursue Jesus, to pursue Him, to love Him. Would you pray with me? Father, God, you have demonstrated your love to us in so many ways. In so many things, you have demonstrated grace in our lives and ultimately in Jesus Christ laying down His life for us. And we are in this room, and I would be willing to bet, God, that most people in this room would say fairly quickly off the top of their head that we love you. I pray that we don't get sidetracked into thinking that that's the end of it. That we would realize that we need to love you with our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, with everything that we've got. And loving you with our mind means we need to process what is coming in to our minds, what we are thinking about. I pray right now, God, for your discernment. I thank you that the Holy Spirit lives in all of us that are Christ followers and that He is able to guide us. A lot of times we don't want to listen. I pray that you give us the ability to listen to what you're telling us. For some of us, that might mean getting rid of some movies. It might mean buying some movies. I don't know. It might mean changing our playlist. It might mean stop going to places. It might mean backing down on some relationship. I don't know, God, and I don't want to make a rule. I want you to give us discernment, to show us what we should do. Not to judge others, but to show us what we should do when it comes to thinking about things that please you. And God, I pray you would help us to find time, let's even say daily, to read your Bible, to study it. Study it, to chew on it, to meditate on it. So that what is coming into our minds, into our thoughts, isn't the junk of the world. It isn't the counsel of the wicked. But it is the Word of God. Help us to delight in that, God. And I'm praying this because it's not about me and what I'm teaching. It's about you guiding us individually to love you more, to pursue you, to run after you. Help us, Jesus, please. In his name I pray. Amen.